This is George M. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. One of the many titles given to the Lord Jesus, and one that he applied to himself, was that of shepherd. In John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 11, we read his words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." It is wonderful to think of Christ as the mighty Creator, to contemplate him as King of Kings, and to view him as the one into whose hands all judgment has been committed. Perhaps more intimate seem such titles as the Bread of Life, the Light of the World, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. There is an abiding sweetness in his title, Savior, that only those can appreciate who know him as such. But one of the sweetest and most precious of all his titles is that of shepherd. From the days of childhood, it has held a peculiar charm for me, as doubtless it has to many of our listeners. Today we will consider that blessed one as shepherd, as the good shepherd. If you do not as yet know him, may you during this message hear his voice, accept him as your own, and follow him as your shepherd. Perhaps it is unnecessary to do so, but may we first inquire as to who the good shepherd is. It is most important that we properly identify him. The term shepherd is such a humble one, lacking the glamour and glory of such titles as King of Kings or Judge, that it might be treated by some with contempt. You remember that Joseph warned his brethren that shepherds were an abomination unto the Egyptians. Jehovah had revealed himself to Israel in the Old Testament as a shepherd, as is seen in such passages as Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord, or Jehovah, is my shepherd." Again in the 5th verse of the 80th Psalm we read, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." So when the Lord said to Israelites, "I am the good shepherd," his words could have no other meaning than that he was claiming absolute deity, that he was indeed the Jehovah of the Old Testament. It is little wonder that in their spiritual blindness, some said that he had a demon, and that ere the chapter closes, they were picking up stones to hurl at him. The good shepherd is the eternal Word, who was in the beginning with God, and who was God. He is the one by whom all things were made, and without whom there was not anything made that was made. The good shepherd is the eternal Son of the eternal God, who became the Son of Man and dwelt among us. He is God manifest in flesh, our prophet, priest, and king. His name is above every name, and his fame can never be equaled. Yes, the good shepherd possesses infinite love, power, and knowledge. He is all this and much more, and yet he is my shepherd and longs to be yours if you will but accept him. To say that he is the good shepherd excludes all others. Had he said, "I am a good shepherd," there would have been much less opposition to him. Such a statement would have put him on a plane with the shepherds of Israel, but to claim that he was the good shepherd placed him in a class by himself above all others. Having identified this glorious person, may we consider in the second place why the good shepherd was needed. The need is clearly set forth in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." While we differ in many respects as to face and features, wealth, health, learning, honor, color, and capacity, there is one thing in which we are all alike in our sinnerhood. For all, not merely some of us, like sheep, have gone astray. To this agree the words of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Granted, some have wandered farther away than others. Some have come farther short of God's glory than others. But the fact remains that all are astray. All have come short. There are absolutely no exceptions. This is God's estimate of man, and not man's appraisal of himself. A second point of similarity is that we have gone astray like sheep. It is said that sheep are among the most stupid of domestic animals. It is natural for a sheep to go astray, and equally natural for them to be utterly unable to find their way back. In the days of my boyhood, I remember a man who put two unwanted cats in a box, put that box in the back of his buggy where it was impossible for them to see where they were going. He then drove about 10 miles over a mountain into a very desolate region. There in the midst of the forest, he liberated the cats, got back into the buggy, and drove away, congratulating himself that he was forever rid of the felines. As they had not seen where they were going, he reasoned they could never find their way back. I am not telling you who the man was, nor am I endorsing the ethics of the procedure. The man got home in about 2 weeks. As he sat down beside the kitchen stove to warm and rest himself, he heard a meow. There, to his amazement and chagrin, were the two cats. They had found their way home. Sheep never would have done that, for they seem to have no such instinct. When a sheep is lost, it is hopelessly lost. How accurate is the word of God in thus likening mankind to sheep? For it is equally impossible for the sinner to find his way back to God to save his own soul. However, the text mentions one dissimilarity. Man, unlike the sheep, is responsible for going astray, for we have turned everyone to his own way, instead of bowing to God's will and walking in his way. The statement indicates a definite choice, an exercise of the will in choosing the path of self-will. Most things we must learn how to do, and often after great effort, but no one needs to be taught to sin. What child ever needed instruction on how to tell its first lie? Sin is the natural expression of self-will. It is having our own way instead of God's way. Unable to save ourselves, someone else must save us if ever we are to be saved. Hence we read, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Thank God there is a seeking Savior. In the time that remains, may we give thought to the greatest work the Good Shepherd has done. Though Creator, creation with all its wonders is not his greatest work. Creation displays his infinite wisdom, evidenced in the marvelous design in all things that he has made, from the orbits of the stars to the eyes of the tiniest insects. Also, creation shows his infinite power. Man, with all his learning and inventive genius, cannot create a single grain of sand or a blade of grass. He must work with things already existing. But God's power is seen in bringing things into existence which had never existed before. Though all things were made by him, who is also termed the Good Shepherd, the greater work than creation brings glory to his name. The poet well expressed it thus: "It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The greatest work was when the Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. It was only through death that salvation could be made possible for the lost sheep, for guilty, self-willed sinners. In the beginning, God joined together sin and death. Hear the solemn words uttered to our first parents: for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The word of God must be honored. His holiness must be vindicated. The righteous claims of his throne must be preserved. But all of Adam's race were included in sin, and because of their sin had forfeited the right to live. None could by any means redeem his own soul, much less the soul of his brother. Only a holy, sinless person could die for others, and that person must be of such superlative worth that there would be infinite merit in his death. It was then that the Good Shepherd took our place and voluntarily laid down his life for the sheep. Then was the prophecy of Zechariah fulfilled, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. The sword of divine justice was sheathed in the bosom of the good shepherd. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. O thou great, all-gracious shepherd, shedding for us thy life's blood, unto shame and death delivered, all to bring us nigh to God. If you do not know the good shepherd, dear listener, hear his voice of invitation. Accept him by faith as your Savior, even now, and be forever saved from the guilt of your sins. Receive from him the eternal life which he gives to all who trust him. Then can you join in the lovely words, we'll sing of the shepherd that died for the sake of the flock. His love to the utmost was tried, but firmly endured as a rock. When blood from a victim must flow, this shepherd by pity was led to stand between us and the foe and willingly die in our stead. Our song then forever shall be of the shepherd who gave himself thus. No subject so glorious as he, no themes so affecting to us. This is George M. Landis speaking. We thank you very much for listening and trust you will be with us for our next broadcast when we will have more to say about the Good Shepherd. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.